Welcome back to Mixed Bag. We're talking about the February and March releases. Hi, Isaac.
Hey.
And hey, Francesco.
Hello there.
So yeah, a lot of games have been released in February, and we're about to get a lot of games in March. So we're going to stick to only the games that we've played so far. Which is, the first game would be Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. Francesco, you tried the beta a bit. Maybe you can talk about your experience.
I was lucky enough to get a beta invite code. I actually didn't play it that much because my idea was to just try it out and see if it was actually a good game or not. And to my surprise, it actually looks decent. I don't think it's going to surpass Mario Kart 8 anytime soon in terms of enjoyability, but that doesn't mean it's a bad game. It seems quite fun. They seem to have got back on the mechanics from All Racing Transformed, which was one of my favorite racing games, so that was nice to see. Like the vehicle that immediately transforms into an airplane or a boat and changes mechanics to drive. It's just for a short period of time, from what I saw, so it's not even that on the nose. The roster seems quite heavy. In the beta, we didn't have that many characters. It was mostly the iconic ones with an odd one, which was, I think it was one of the characters from Lost World, but not the main bad guy, so that was really weird to see in the beta. But I guess it was one of the ones that was ready at the time. But anyway, I saw that the roster was huge, so I'm expecting a lot of characters. Apparently there's some DLCs coming out of the way. We were discussing it off mic, so seems they have a lot of plans for this one. But yeah, the gameplay was enjoyable. You get the usual Mario Kart stuff that happens to you whenever you're in first place and suddenly you get punished by everything before the finish line. You know the ones if you play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Right when you're about to win, you suddenly end up 10th or whatever.
That blue shell, yeah.
The Mario Kart effect. But yeah, that's to say, it seems like an enjoyable experience.
It is kind of similar to... Sorry.
What? No, sorry, what were you saying?
It seems kind of similar like a Lego 2K Drive in that way that your vehicle is changing based on the surface.
More similar to Sonic or Racing Transform, but I guess similar to Lego 2K Drive since you mentioned it. There's a feature which we could also try it out in the beta where you can customize your vehicle. I didn't play that long, so I didn't fully go into it, but from what I saw, there's several vehicle parts that you can assemble and they change your stats. Yeah. Kind of like Mario Kart 8 if you think about it, but maybe a bit more complex. I didn't go that much into it, so we shall see how it turns out in the end. But that gives me the idea that characters are almost the same between one another. Like in Mario Kart, there's differences with every character you pick, even in the heavy classes. But I think here it's pretty much the vehicle that that tells you which stats you have, no matter who you pick. Which is, to me, is kind of cool. It's kind of like Crash Team Racing in that way, but I mean, even there was heavy, fast, and turny. I don't think there's that difference here. It's just the kind of vehicle you choose. Like, for example, you can choose, you can choose Sonic and go with a heavy, heavy vehicle. Like, you can totally do that.
And use Knuckles to just fly over the track,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. You can do that kind of stuff. So you can just pick your favorite. From what I understood. And you can also equip some power-ups. Which you could say there's some perks like in some free to play games you can choose which abilities you boost. Like for example, there were a few I saw like have more rings at the start or have more time to do the air tricks. Again, like in Mario Kart, they give you a boost to acceleration. And other stuff related to weapons. There seems to be room for variety. I'm not too sure about how that's gonna turn out. I'm worried about balance, but it's interesting. I guess they wanted to have a unique element compared to other racing games. And admittedly, I don't remember seeing anything like this in the major competitors. So there seems to be a lot of stuff involved in this game. Seems promising so far. Again, I don't think it will be as fun as the Mario Kart series, but for fans of Sonic, it might be a good pick. We shall see how it turns out. But it already looks fun, so we're already on a good start. We will see how the final product will end up being when they announce the release date, because I don't think we have one yet, except 2025. So
yeah, so maybe in a month we know more once Nintendo announces their new console and possibly a new Mario Kart game.
Yeah, since we pretty much know there's gonna be a Mario Kart 9, they basically showed it on the Switch 2 teaser. I guess Sega's probably biding their time and trying to find out when Mario Kart 9 actually releases. I don't know if it's actually going to be called Mario Kart 9, but let's just pretend it is. Based on that, they'll probably decide when to release Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, because it does seem pretty much... I mean, the core gameplay seems pretty much ready, so I'm assuming they still have to develop the other characters, some side modes, but the focus seems there, so I can't imagine there's that much work to be done to do a stress test for balance reasons. So, yeah. We'll probably find out in a few months.
Hopefully, yeah. So let's move on to the actual February releases. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 came out on the 4th of February. It's a direct sequel to the first game, so you return to Bohemia of the 15th century as Henry, together with his companion Hans. And I played like 3 hours at most. I think, Isaac, you probably played a lot more, so maybe you can give a better impression of the game. But I have to say, it runs pretty well on PC, which is rare these days, since Spider-Man 2 ran... really badly.
Yeah, I heard a lot of really good things about the PC port. Like, it's one of the few developers that actually put a lot of effort.
Yeah, it's well optimized from what I can say with a 4070. I don't know how it plays with an older graphics card, though.
Ironically, I think the developers admitted that developing for Xbox Series S helped a lot with optimizing the PC port, since it was already scaled.
Quite the opposite from the Wukong developers' feedback there.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, yeah, that game is... did they ever even, improve the optimization of that game? Because it's like...
Not really. Yeah. I think it runs slightly better if you own a PS5 Pro, but...
Oh, yeah.
But it's just very slightly better.
Yeah, like, the PC port's not too bad. Obviously, when I was playing it, I was playing, like... a pre-release build, so it had its own issues, but even then, like, I only ran into like a few crashes. I say a few. It was like at one point it was pretty bad, but yeah, like, I think a lot of it was just the build I was playing still had a few issues here and there. It's been like a long time since I actually played the first game, but it doesn't actually like matter that much.
No.
It's like, there's some stuff where, like, you'd maybe get a little bit more out of it if you had played the first one, but, like, there's no, like, save carryover feature or anything, and there's, like, some points where you're asked about specific things and you just choose an option from them, and it doesn't even matter. So it's, like, it's not fully standalone or anything, but it doesn't really expect you to have played the first one. I think Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is decent, but I think it runs into the issue some other, like, open-worldy games do, where the main story and, like, the open-world stuff with all the side content feels very, like, disconnected.
Right, yeah.
Where, like, a lot of the stuff you do in the main story, yeah, it's like the main story feels like it has like no effect on the side stuff. And there's like outside of like the occasional stuff, there's like one early-ish main story mission where like you kind of want to do some of the side stuff because it unlocks like a few extra conversations and things in like a main quest. But like a lot of it, it's like sort of like it feels like they're just two separate sides. And there's it's another one of those games where they give you choices and stuff, but a lot of them just don't feel like they matter at all. Like there's no like branching paths or anything. It's one set of main story quests no matter what you do, and like it feels a bit weird in that regard, where it's like it really feels like at least one point it should like branch out, but it's like the game even like makes it obvious that it's not going to have any sort of like real choices, because it's like it opens up on like a scene that happens way later. Like the opening section is just that, like, it's just something that happens later on. So it's like they obviously, like if they did it that way, they obviously couldn't have things dramatically change.
Yeah,
but like it feels like, yeah, they're a bit disconnected, and it feels like some of the characters during the main story really could have done with, even if it's not main story, could have done with some more optional quests. There's like a bunch get introduced, and you could either not do some of the ones that do exist, or some just don't exist at all. So you like, if you did the main story all in one go, it'd feel weird, because like you don't get time to like learn much about the characters. And then if you do a bunch of side content, you forget, they're even more forgettable, because there's such big gaps between doing story stuff if you want to do side things. I know, it's like, it's not bad, it just feels a little weird. Like, a lot of the side stuff feels like you don't need to do it. Like the alchemy stuff, I did it a little bit. Occasionally a quest would require me to do it, but it's not needed.
Yeah.
And, like, they put blacksmithing in, which is nice, because even though Henry's whole thing was, like, he was the son of a blacksmith and he was learning blacksmithing from him, in the first game, Yeah, it's like, in one, you couldn't even do it. You couldn't even do blacksmithing. And then in two, it's like
the tutorial, and then you don't need it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, like I did it a tiny bit to level up a little bit. Like outside of like sharpening weapons, which is like another mini game that's really quick anyway, the only time I did it was to like forge like one specific sword. And
at
like
the mini game was does blacksmithing.
It's like forging this one sword was like slightly harder because my blacksmithing level was low, but unlike something like lockpicking, where they straight up just don't let you do it on certain locks if your skill isn't high enough,
yeah,
you could still do it. But yeah, for lockpicking, they tried to avoid the whole Skyrim thing of like...
Yeah, I was about to mention Skyrim.
Yeah, it's like basically their way of stopping you from brute forcing it is there's no auto way of picking locks outside of one perk that lets you auto pick the very, very, very easiest locks in the game. But there's no chance of just insta-doing it with, like, a percentage chance, or you break the lockpick or whatever. And, yeah, if the lock's too difficult, it just goes, nah, you can't do it. It's like, no. So, like, I spent one period in the game just going around different, like, villages and stuff and, like, breaking into everything just to level it up. And it's actually surprisingly quick to level if you do just, like, do a quick sweep of like different places and just unlock doors and then leave. Like, you don't even take anything. You just I'll unlock this door. Goodbye. Next one. It's just like, it's like another ones where it's like, there's a real disconnect between like how your character's acting in story. And then like in the actual gameplay, you're just breaking into everybody's like places for no reason.
Yeah. The Nathan Drake syndrome.
Yeah, he's just like, he just kills hundreds of people in like a single game and doesn't seem to like realize he's just killed hundreds of people.
No.
But yeah, it's like, I don't think it's bad. I think it maybe carries over some of the issues, like the combat's still not great.
It's not great, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they, because like they brought back Master Strike, which was like the really OP thing in the first game, but they made it like almost easier in this one, and then they also made it so it only applies to a few weapons, so you'd like, I just used the sword, because it's like a couple of swords could use it, like the one-handed swords and like the long swords could use it, but like maces and stuff couldn't use it anymore.
Yeah,
so I just used a long sword for most of the game, because like it just lets you counter pretty much any attack. So it's like, why would I not do this? But it's like,
yeah, I heard the combat system was pretty hard to get into in the first game, but in the second game I didn't have that issue that much.
So
probably also because there is not a lot of combat in the first few hours, actually.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like they tweaked the combat system a little bit. It used to be that you had way more like directions you could pick for like where you attacked and
you
stuff.
You only have one direction down now, yeah.
Yeah, but now the other thing as well is they sort of play into the whole fact that Henry, you know, he's a bit more experienced and stuff. So like his stats are just like naturally higher from the start anyway. Which the whole thing with the first game was it was really annoying until you level up your stats and then you just like unplayable
anyway.
Yeah, that
was what put me off from the first game.
Yeah, so it's like in the first one you had to train up a bit and like do all the side stuff or whatever. In the second one you just kind of skip that bit. So like from the early sections you can already like 1v2 1v3 people without much issue outside of the targeting being weird.
And but yeah, like, story wise I liked it a lot. It felt a lot like Red Dead Redemption 2, having that big posse around and having those campfire conversations. But obviously that is actually a part that you get to later then.
Yeah. And I feel like that's like sort of the stuff where it's like it feels like they needed more side quests with those side characters. Like,
which actually Red Dead Redemption 2 didn't have too much either, but it had a main story with 80 hours to fill, so that was enough actually there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say if you liked the first game, definitely try this one, but if you couldn't get into it with the combat and the setting, and maybe also some choices the lead developer did, which is a little controversial to put it mildly, then maybe this isn't one either for you. Maybe there's a demo, but I'm not sure. I couldn't find any. No, actually can't try that out. But yeah, it will probably be on Game Pass quite soon, I would imagine.
Given that it's selling very well, it's gonna be a while until it gets a Game Pass, probably.
Yeah, probably. But there's another game that straight up launched into PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium, which is Lost Records, Bloom and Rage. At least the first tape was released of two.
And the second one got delayed a little bit.
Into,
the second would also get released on PS Plus. So
it's a free update. So yeah, it offers a lot more content than I expected. It's from the Life is Strange studio. So it's not like a 2-hour episode that you remember from Life is Strange. It's more like a 10 to 12 hour episode.
May as well point out it's not the Life is Strange studio, because now we have Tech 9 too. So we don't want to confuse people.
The original,
the original Life is Strange makers creator. Of Life is Strange. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
And yeah, it plays in 1995 and 2022. So it switches between those timelines, but the current timeline is basically not that relevant in the first episode. And you only spend it inside a bar with some conversations. So actually, it didn't make a lot of sense to put that in there, I felt like. So hopefully that will get more interesting, that exchange between the two timelines in the second part then. And yeah, it takes a lot of time to establish the characters. If you like that sort of game, that will be quite cool to witness. But if you're not into that style of game, this game will be, you won't enjoy that too much then. And it has a big twist, like in the mid part of the game. But since it takes such a long time to establish the characters, they could have maybe sped that up a little bit there at the start. And it didn't need to be like a 10-hour first part there. But yeah, I quite enjoyed getting to know the characters, and the soundtrack is pretty great. And it ends, of course, with a huge cliffhanger, as you can imagine. Which is not too good to wait then 2 months there for the second part. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how your choices actually matter. They didn't seem to matter too much actually for the first part, because it ends the same way, whatever you do. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how that continues then. 3 days later, we got a Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. I think I'm also the only one that played that one so far.
Probably. Yes.
So yeah, I couldn't actually play it until this week because it kept crashing, but they finally fixed it. You have to reboot your NVIDIA driver to a very old version from, I think, May 2024. So I can only play this game now, not anything else. No more Indiana Jones. Yeah, it's a pirate spin-off game, which nobody expected, actually, from the franchise, I would say. And it does use a lot of assets and the game world from the last game, Infinite Wealth. Like Honolulu, I think it is, in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And the pirate island is also very similar to that place you get to in Like a Dragon Gaiden, which I don't remember the name of. But yeah. You got ship combat in that one that feels a lot more fun than Skull and Bones. So you don't need to play Skull and Bones anymore. Play this game. But yeah, I only played like 3 to 4 hours, so I got a lot more to play there. So far, it seems a little disconnected between the real world in Hawaii and the pirate stuff, but yeah, it will probably work itself out in the story
as it goes along. Yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I'm kind of wondering how they're going to do it, because like obviously it's not called a Gaiden game in English, but it is in Japan.
Yeah.
And the man who wrote his name, you could essentially just not play that game and it wouldn't matter. So it's like, with Pirate Yakuza sort of being released when it is, like, they've definitely had more time to sort of consider where it would fit into, like, the overall timeline. So it's like, I am wondering if they are going to try and have it have any relevance in the next game or what. Like, it's obviously, it's like, what are they even going to do for the next game?
They do mention some stuff of the last game.
Yeah.
Like Bryce, I'm just naming some characters, but not what happens to them.
Yeah, well, they showed some of that stuff in the trailer. So it's like, they're definitely... I mean, obviously, I suppose, like, the man who wrote his name did have stuff from, like, 6 anyway, but, like... Oh, and 7, but, yeah. It's more just like, yeah, it's definitely carrying on from Infinite Wealth, but whether... whatever comes after, like, 9, like, whatever 9 is, like, will that one, outside of, like, maybe a small nod or something, will it, like, have any connection? Like, will they just go, oh, yeah, Majima was a pirate at one point. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, that's probably it, yeah.
It's like, that's essentially what ended up happening in, like, Infinite Wealth. Like, oh, dear, I can't get over, like, how that turned out when it came to Man Who Writes His Name.
Yeah, but yeah. I think story-wise, this is more interesting, and actually gameplay-wise as well.
Yeah.
I didn't really much enjoy 7 Gaiden, basically.
Yeah, I didn't like...
Jump button, yeah.
Yeah.
And two fun fighting styles also.
Yeah, like the whole like being able to jump
the button... The agent thing was styles. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, the agent stuff... Once you bought a bunch of upgrades, it was like... It was useful OP in combat, but it wasn't fun.
Yeah, no.
And like before that point, it was just bad and not fun. And
it actually mixes up the ship combat, and you can enter other ships. So that's also a thing you can't do in Skull and Bones. not trying to pick the game actually completed Skull and Bones. I think I'm one of the very few people who actually saw the credits.
Ooh. Are you happy about that?
I actually thought it was pretty fun, but it yeah, actually,
okay, but yeah,
this one is more fun actually.
Yeah,
well, and it's not only ship combat,
and it didn't take a million years to come out and be like
it's not quadruple A.
That was the one, yeah. Oh dear, but yeah, it's I'll definitely play it eventually. I definitely like the look of it more than 7 8 Gaiden, I guess. What it's like, whatever you want to call it. Like,
this is 8 Gaiden.
In between. Same difference to both 8 Gaiden. Yeah, it's like, Man Who Wrote His Name is just, it could have just not existed, and I wouldn't have been bothered. It's like...
Exactly.
This at least has a bit
they more... They should have remade 3 instead.
I mean, that's probably coming eventually. But it's more like, when's it going to happen now? Like, if they count Pirate Yakuza is like a main entry, even though it's technically a Gaiden thing. Like, are they gonna do like a mainline or a spin-off thing next? Like, I'd be interested to see what they do next, or if they just like pull out the surprise, either a new Judgment game or just something different again.
I wouldn't expect a new mainline game like next year already, because that's like 2 years after Infinite Wealth. Probably too short.
Well, they're already on the new Virtua Fighter.
All right, yeah.
Like, it's hard to tell what they're actually gonna like do next, because like, they're already working on Virtua Fighter, and there's probably at least like one other thing they haven't announced. But yeah, I wouldn't be against Judgment returning. They definitely keep including Judgment stuff in non-Judgment, so it's like they definitely want to remind people it exists, but it's always the case of like the whole stuff that with like the Yagami's like actual like voice and face, like the actor for that.
That infamous agency, yeah.
But then, obviously, Lost Judgment's out on PC now, and that was one of the things people assumed was that, like, the reason behind that not happening for a while is because of the agency and the fact it happened. Like, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll try and make Kaito like the new main guy for those after the Kaito Files.
Is Monster Hunter Wilds the best game in the franchise yet? What would you say?
I have played through it all. I guess the embargo's up as well, so I can say whatever, but I'm not really going to go into, like, too much about everything. It's not bad. The PC port is pretty bad.
Yeah.
The PC port specifically, on my system, it kind of, like, to get it to run okay, but still worse than World, it also looks worse than World. So, the big thing with Wild was, obviously, it's kind of in the name, so Wild World, yeah, like, they try and, like, have... It's like seamless between you picking up quests and like going out to hunt, and you can just go hunt random stuff and then not get kicked back to like a hub area or something. So they kind of try and pretend that it's more like the world's more alive or whatever. But in practice, the actual gameplay loop barely changes. So all it seems to have really done is ruin the performance for something that in practice doesn't actually change the gameplay that much. Because the whole thing in Endgame is you just look for, like, quests that include multiple monsters and do those because they have better rewards, and then join other people that are doing that so you can get the better rewards. And it's like, there's no real incentive to actually actively go around and just fight whatever pops up. Like, so it's like, they did this whole change in structure, and it's probably partially why the performance is that bad. And... yeah, I don't think it added anything. But, like, the actual gameplay's still fun. It's pretty easy, partially because they give you even more tools to work with, and they never really buffed the monsters as well to, like, make up for that. So, like, you have focus mode in this one, which takes away one of the main things from a lot of the monster in the games, which is, like, positioning and, like, you know, aiming your attacks... Because, like, you have to kind of commit for most weapons. Like, you attack in a direction, and you're going to have to wait for the animation to go through. Whereas in Wilds, focus mode just lets you turn during, like, everything. So it's, like, even on the slowest weapons, like, you could just do, like, a 180 turn during the animation and, like, actually still hit it. So it's, like, it makes things way easier, but then it's also quite clunky on controller, because if you're trying to hit the face buttons and do use the right analog stick at the same time, it's like, it's not quite made for that. There are ways around it, especially with like controllers that have back buttons and stuff, or if you can like macro some stuff, but like it almost feels like it works better on mouse and keyboard. But it's like, yeah, focus mode's a bit weird because it doesn't feel like it's designed with controller in mind, and it also makes things easier. The difficulty in general feels even easier than the last two, which were already designed to be a little bit easier than the ones before anyway. And there's some of the stuff they announced is coming. But one of them includes like an actual hub area like all the other games had. And that's not in the base game. That's something that's getting added in the first major patch. And it's like, it really feels like this should have been here already. Because it's like, it's the same thing that happened with Rise, where the base version was like straight up obviously missing stuff. Like, that game was essentially missing the ending to its story.
Oh.
Like, they had to patch that.
Like Mass Effect 3. Yeah.
Well, it was like, it was more deliberate in this case, where it was like, it was always planned to get patched in later. Because I think it was during the whole pandemic stuff, so it kind of affected the development a little bit. So they kind of released at like an okay-ish stopping point, but then you had to wait until the patch before you got like the actual end.
It's weird.
It, like, it basically just ended on a cliffhanger originally, and then like a few months later, like the actual ending happened. But yeah, I think Wilds is decent. The gameplay's still fun. I don't know what the shelf life's going to be on it, because it's like there's like the combination of the difficulty being lower, you can get materials a bit easier, and the actual monster count isn't that high. So it's like, I feel like people might burn through it quite fast. And it really depends on how much they add via the updates, which doesn't seem to be like a crazy amount. Like monster-wise, I think there's like 2 coming in like April or something. And it's like, I don't know what like the lifespan of it's gonna be versus the other ones, because like there's like less grind, less difficulty. Like, is that gonna be like less reason to keep playing?
They're waiting to see how much it sells.
Well, I mean, sales aren't gonna be the issue. Like, Wilds is already like completely destroyed the previous 2's like PC player accounts.
Oh wow!
Although, well, it reached over 1 million like concurrent, which it's one of like less than 10 games, I think, to do that on Steam. But at the same time, it's also the first to be coming out on PC at the same time as a console release. So some sales that would have been on console might have just be PC sales now instead, and like double dipping and stuff. But it's kind of the sort of thing you can't really judge, because obviously they never release like player numbers for consoles most of the time. Although Capcom's usually pretty good at releasing actual sales numbers a lot of the time, because they've done it with World and Rise and like the Resis and stuff. So we probably will learn more about the sales numbers over the next probably like month or something.
But are there some issues online as well? I saw a group trying to change areas, but they needed to leave the party and then start a new party to change the area.
It's part of the whole like structure thing. So it's like you can join a party, and that wouldn't cause any issues if you're going to different areas and stuff separately in your own game world, and then you just joined up for quests. But when it comes, you can also set it so like all the players join your specific instance as well. And I think that's what starts to cause issues if you want to switch the area later.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you just treat it like the other games where it's like, you just go into a party and then like do the quests, it'll like keep putting you in the same ones. And it handles main story a little bit better than World did, because World had the issue of, if you had multiple new players, they'd both have to do the opening to the quest and see the first cutscene, and then only one person could like stay in the quest, and the others would have to leave and then join that quest. And they've kind of simplified that a little bit in this one. But yeah, it's still a little clunky over the other games outside of World. And I think partially as well, it's because of the whole, this is the first one with cross-platform play too. So there's a bit of weirdness when it comes to parties and that as well. But obviously it's still good to have crossplay, because they really should have put it in the last 2.
Yeah.
But they never did. Like Rise specifically, it should have already, like, people were already annoyed it wasn't in World, and then they didn't do it for Rise again, even though it had the delayed PC and all the other versions releasing. But yeah, it's nice to finally have like an actual crossplay option for these. But yeah, hopefully the PC port gets better, because it's not great right now, and it doesn't really like do enough to kind of justify it.
Yeah, hopefully they don't wait as long like Highway Police Simulator, which is finally getting patched now, but it's been like many months since it's been released.
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust games with that ever that have simulator in them. It's just like, no.
I mean, there's Farming Simulator VR now on MetaQuest. I'm going to try that next, so that could be actually pretty fun. But let's get to a completely new genre. And speaking to cross-platform play, I think Sonic Racing Cross Worlds also has cross-play, if we haven't mentioned that.
I'm not sure. I mean, the test was only on PS5, so it probably will have cross-play, but it's not confirmed yet, I think.
It's been confirmed that it has cross-play.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But that also probably means that, they won't pull the whole thing with the All-Stars Racing Transformed, where it had, the platform-exclusive stuff. I don't think that will happen.
That's pretty much a good thing. We may as well all have the same characters.
And maybe you don't have to
just choose your favorite version for a character.
Maybe that's why they set up the Sega account thing also recently, to support cross-platform play.
Yeah, probably. Although
you need an EA account for Split Fiction as well, play across platform.
I don't know, actually.
But if you play on Steam, you don't need an EA account, and you don't need the EA launcher at all.
I'm guessing it's like cool. Epic, where maybe it just spoofs a temporary one or something, because a lot of games that use Epic services for cross-platform and stuff, you don't technically need to make an account. It just sort of treats you as having one in the back end.
Well, they said you definitely need an EA account to play Split Fiction cross-play.
I just meant on the Steam specifically, where it's
maybe because you already registered a game with an EA account and then just takes over that info.
Maybe. But I do like that they're still doing the you only need one copy of the game with Split Fiction to play.
Yeah, the friend pass thing is quite cool.
That's a really good thing.
Because it's just not just the fact that it's you get the friend pass, it's they even have the crossplay stuff. That's just, it's an issue a lot of the time with the games designed exclusively around co-op, especially when they cost more too. It's harder to justify two people buying it.
Let's come to a game that has been in development for quite some time, I think. Assassin's Creed Shadows, finally, hopefully coming out next month.
Yeah, I think this time it's actually coming out. I mean, they already leaked it for a month. There's already copies going out, apparently. So,
not to us so far, but at least we could play a preview version. What were your impressions so far of AC Shadows?
Yeah, I did manage to play 4 hours of some missions the developers prepared specifically for this session. I wasn't expecting much, to be honest, but I was surprised positively in the sense that, considering it's been delayed quite a lot of time, I wasn't expecting something really good, but it seems pretty much like your modern Assassin's Creed games. I'm not sure how to describe, but I don't think it's gonna be that much different from what we tried with Valhalla, even though they did try to change things up with the maps, especially. I think Ubisoft listened to the complaints of the old Ubisoft maps, every game feeling the same and whatnot. And they try to revise it in a way that encourages exploration.
Is it more like Origins, or is it more like Mirage, like a smaller map?
No, I think it's more like Origins that way. Mirage was basically like the first Assassin's Creed game, so it was a self-contained spirit. This one is instead like the Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla. So this huge world you can explore, but they basically give you some head points for sorts of missions. A lot of times you get the mission and they say, you can find this guy in this region, there's this building right there, stuff like that. It's very minimal that tries to tell you should explore around there. But you can also use some scouts you can unlock during your gameplay, and to basically use the hints to send the scouts where you think this this mission place is resides in, and they should unlock it if you paid attention. It's a pretty interesting way of doing stuff. I'm curious to see how it turns out in the final game, because that may turn out to be ironically complicated for some people who expect some simpler stuff. But I don't know. That's just the experience I had with the preview. Maybe they just change it. Maybe there's more stuff that wasn't available in my build. I don't know. But it's interesting to see that they're trying to actually change the formula.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is that they told me multiple times that you can, even though you can change your character multiple times during your gameplay, and there's some story missions where you can just choose which character to pick depending on the situation. But it's completely your choice. I think they added a quote unquote canon mode where the game just chooses for you the characters depending on the story they plan, but you can also choose to do stuff yourself or just play with one character from the start to the end. So, depending on how you prefer to play, it should open up to quite the possibilities.
It does look it looks pretty good from what I've seen, because I quite liked Origins and Odyssey, and Valhalla was okay.
Valhalla was a mixed bag, yeah. I think this is more in line with your Odyssey. Probably.
Yeah, like it just looks decent. Like, I don't think it's ever gonna be like good enough to justify how long it took to come out. But at the same time, I don't think it's gonna be quite like
it's
something
not gonna
like Skull
be the
and
disaster
Bones.
We thought it would be. Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm expecting a decent game. Like you said, decent is the right term. Probably not a masterpiece, but if you liked Origins or Odyssey, it's probably gonna be good.
It's gonna be pretty good, but it's also not gonna save Ubisoft.
I mean, yeah. They did say there's gonna be a huge day one patch, so
yeah,
a lot of stuff is probably gonna change, even from what I already played. So. We shall see, I suppose, when the game actually comes out.
Hopefully the PC version will be okay.
Hopefully the PC version will be okay, yeah. I mean, I did play... My session was a cloud session, so I played in the streaming, but it was obviously a PC build. And it did look decent, but obviously it wasn't my PC, so I can't really judge for that.
Was probably
hopefully it's actually decent.
Yeah.
In other cloud previews I did in the past, I did tend to notice where there were some frame rate issues and stuff. This looked pretty much fluid. I didn't notice that many hiccups. I mean, it may have been a powerful enough PC, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
It did look decent, so there's hope.
I wonder if you can play the whole game in Japanese, like you could play Mirage.
You can actually play the... Yeah, they did say, especially, like, they were inspired by Shogun, they told me specifically. There's a mode you can use there where characters can speak in their native languages, so most of the game will be Japanese.
Cool.
I think there's also... No, I can't say that, but there's gonna be probably some other languages. So just like in Shogun and series like that, you can just read subtitles and you listen characters speaking the languages they're supposed to be. Or like I did in my preview, because I wanted to actually understand what they were saying, you can just use the English and it's pretty much like any other game out there. The option is there, yeah. So
yeah, that's nice.
Gonna be cool.
And Mirage was obviously a smaller game, like 10 to 12 hours, I think. And that was quite interesting to play that in Arabic. But if you're playing like a 40-hour game and have to read subtitles all the time. But then again, I also played all of the Yakuza games in Japanese. So never mind that.
Well, there didn't seem to be that many long cutscenes. So that should help.
Yeah.
They're integrated in the gameplay, so that should be more enjoyable. shouldn't be like watching a 4-hour Kojima cutscene.
There weren't any cutscenes in Killing Floor 3. I played the beta, the multiplayer beta there. It had the different the new specialists, and now the perks are tied to the specialists, actually.
It's never received well if it's in a game, especially the one where they didn't do that in the last one, like with Battlefield. Like, it was just like, it doesn't add anything. Like, what's the point of locking them behind specific characters?
Yeah, I think Battlefield 2042 even had to say, never mind, we screwed up, we're going back to your formula. But the game already quote unquote failed, so a little bit too late, guys, but yeah, specialists seems to be controversial.
It's just it makes sense, because obviously if you have something like Overwatch or Marvel Rivals or whatever, where it's the abilities are obviously tied to the character in a way that makes sense, it's one thing, and especially if in a PvP game where you need them to look different. But then when it's just some people, when it's just a bunch of human characters or whatever, or in a PvE game in Killing Floor 3, where it wouldn't matter what the character model was, it just, there's no point. If it was already if it wasn't that way in the last game and you change it to be that way, it just feels more restrictive. It doesn't add anything.
Old fans are gonna have a rough time adapting.
Oh, yeah. People are already annoyed that people did not like the beta.
People are mad,
People are mad. The PC port doesn't seem good. It's not going down well.
Performance was actually quite okay. I did have some micro stutters, but maybe that was just my system.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of bugs, especially if you're obviously online multiplayer and stuff, it's lots of desync and disconnects and stuff.
Yeah, but nothing too major at least in the 3 to 4 hours that I play with Exos, it ran pretty fine. It only had three maps, so couldn't really see a lot of the game actually there. Yeah. And the mission system actually glitched out for us, so we could do the first mission and then it stopped working. But yeah, it's pretty fun, but we will obviously have to wait for the full release to get a better impression of the game.
Hopefully,
the starting area, the hub is kind of weird, way too big and convoluted, so maybe they could have looked at Helldivers, for example, for better, or just use the menu like in the previous games.
it just feels like a lot of changes almost for the sake of changes.
Yeah,
but the changes that don't really feel like they benefit the game that much, so
it's also so easy because now you can revive and heal. And previously, I think it was permadeath, basically, for the round if you die. So,
I think so, yeah.
Another change that wasn't well received by the community, put it mildly. But yeah, let's see. It could be fun. Maybe they would make some adjustments close to release.
Yeah, I wouldn't be completely surprised if they do announce some sort of last-minute delay. I know it's still kind of just under a month out anyway, but I do feel like a delay is kind of
would be needed. Let's hope another game that I also got to play won't be delayed. That's Karma the Dark World, coming out on 27th of March. Another period game that I played. I think it plays in 1984 in Eastern Germany. It's done by a Chinese developer, so it's a really interesting mix. It feels a lot like a Kojima game if you watch the cutscenes, but it actually has gameplay.
That's fun. 4 hours.
Yeah, just 3 hours and some gameplay, actually. So yeah, it's a first-person horror game with some puzzle elements. It also feels a lot like Control, because you have that Leviathan Corporation that controls everything, and you enter people's memories and try to change them. And yeah, it's an interesting take on an oppressive regime it was kind of interesting also to talk to the developers at Gamescom about that. And yeah, looking forward to playing the final game. There have been two demos now, and I feel like I've seen quite a lot of the game already, so I wonder how long the full game will actually
be. Yeah, because it's like these sorts of games are often not that long. But like, I feel like they wouldn't want to show off a lot of it straight away, so it's like, who knows? They might also, like, any of these games that kind of have it, like, be kind of weird, that, like, there's always going to be a chance that, like, maybe what's been shown in the demos and stuff isn't even going to be the same as the full game. Like, maybe they rework some stuff.
Yeah, they actually announced that it would be the full game that I was going to play, but then, yeah, it was just a mistake in the guide, so sadly, it was just another hour of the game. But yeah, interesting one, definitely. And I think that's about it, what we played in the last few weeks. Quite a lot, and quite a lot to play still in March.
Yeah, March is another busy-ish month.
So what are you looking forward to be playing apart from AC Shadows and Killing Floor 3 and Karma the Dark World?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to end up actually playing, but obviously there's Xenoblade Chronicles X is finally coming off the Wii U. Wow. With the Definitive Edition. It took a little time, obviously. Like, it's probably going to be one of those games where it gets some sort of like update for the Switch 2. Because like, what they've shown somehow already looks better than the Wii U version, and that was already like somehow running on the Wii U. So like, I don't know how they've managed to like make it, because like, it's not even just like the character models being improved, it just looks nicer in general, and the UI is readable now, because they like the original UI would just not work on.
I think they're also balancing it better with Team X and stuff.
Yeah, so they're redoing some of that, and there's some extra story stuff, and unlike the other games,
hopefully
like,
it actually has a handing this time.
Well, it's like, it's unlike one where the Definitive Edition had the story that took place like a bit after, like I think with Definitive, the Xenoblade X Definitive, they're probably gonna have it be like right after the original ending. Like, yeah, it's definitely, it's because it's not like two or three where they went with prequels. They were like, no, we straight up have to have the story take place afterwards, because the only way it makes sense. And it's like, it's what everybody wanted with the original game. Like, everyone was waiting for DLC or something, and it never happened.
But do you think it will be updated for Switch too? Don't you think it will sell a new version?
For Xenoblade? No, it's way too late for that now.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense, especially for Nintendo, where Nintendo's specifically going to probably not want to resell versions of games that came out on the Switch 1.
Like Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, Switch 2 already runs Switch 1 games anyway, so...
Yeah, it's one of those things where I can't really see them... Like, the only way I could see them selling a new version is if they did, like, the whole free upgrade thing that, like, with, you know, PS4 to PS5, Xbox One to Xbox Series, like... But I feel like for something like Xenoblade specifically, they'll probably just... It would specifically just be... It would get patched for like higher resolution frame rate support or something. Like, I wouldn't see it getting anything major, but it's like... It already looks pretty good on a base Switch. So like, just... I think it's probably one of those games that might just benefit from the better hardware for like performance-wise. So like, obviously, like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, in theory... should benefit just from the fact that they didn't have like the capped 30 FPS. So like, they should just benefit from higher frame rates on the better hardware, even without patches, in theory.
Yeah, in theory.
In theory. But
maybe they will just charge €10 or £10 to upgrade. Yeah,
I definitely do want to see what Nintendo will do. I think for something Xenoblade, since it's releasing, it's the same year as the Switch 2, it's like, it would just be a free patch if they do anything for it. Like, I feel like it's the sort of thing where they probably should have the Switch 2 in mind with this version regardless, because it's like, it's releasing so close. But yeah, for any of their older stuff, it'll be interesting to see what they actually pull with it. Like, they could charge for upgrades and people would pay for it, so it's like, they might. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I guess we have to wait and see. Like, The other main ones, like something that isn't new, is the Suikoden 1 and 2 remasters finally releasing after they got delayed for reasons. They've shown off that the font's better now. The original font they were showing was terrible. But like otherwise, I never played through Suikoden 1 and 2. I played a little bit of 1, but like I'm definitely interested to try them. Although at the same time, I played Eidon Chronicles, which I didn't like that much. So it's like, maybe I will not like these, but maybe they're better. I did hear a lot of, like, Eidon Chronicle 100 Heroes was just two, Suikoden 2, but worse. So maybe I'll like it more.
Fingers crossed. Maybe we'll also get a new Suikoden game, since Blooper Team is working on a Konami IP, but it may as well be Silent Hill.
Well, yeah, it's more likely to be Silent Hill. There is a stream happening for Suikoden at some point. Like, maybe they'll just show off 1 and 2, but they weren't specific on what the stream was about, other than it's a Suikoden stream. So maybe they'll announce more remasters.
Yeah.
Like, they could also, cause like, obviously, like, Activision has the whole Tony Hawk 3 and 4 thing. It's like, maybe Konami's like, we'll do Suikoden 3 and 4. Maybe that's why 1 and 2 got delayed, because they were like, we'll try and release 3 and 4 not that long after or something.
But that would make sense.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm definitely interested to try it, but it's releasing at a weird month for RPGs anyway. Because like the day after Xenoblade Chronicles X, Atelier Yumiya comes out. So it's like another JRPG. It's like kind of packed that month.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Atomfall. It's kind of like the British Fallout. Coming to Game Pass and other platforms.
I'm kind of salty that because they had a press event recently, or like I don't know if it's influencer press or both or whatever, but like they did it in London instead of actually coming up north. It was like, come on. I get why they did it in London, but like, because they had like a pub and they did it up with like old timey stuff, but it's like,
nice.
why couldn't they come north? It'd be like one of the press events I wouldn't have to like travel ages for if they did it up here.
Yeah,
because like the actual setting isn't that far away from, it's like, it's not like close to where I live. It's not like really, really close to where I live, but it's like only like a few hours away or something at most to where I live. So it's like, it's definitely an interesting setting.
It's based on a real nuclear disaster, right?
Yeah.
The Windscale nuclear disaster.
Yeah, because the, it's kind of like, yeah, it kind of is like the whole British stock thing of like, you know, alternate history sort of like revolving around like a nuclear disaster. Obviously, it wasn't anywhere near as bad as Chernobyl. But
so we got two coming up and Atomfall. So it's two games around a nuclear disaster next month.
Yeah. And Atomfall's said, if I remember correctly, Atomfall's setting it. It's obviously based in the Northwest in that area, but the actual area itself, I think, is not a real place. I think like that the actual main town and stuff is just a place they've made up.
Yeah,
it's rather than having it be an actual place. But the actual like geologically, the actual area it's in is obviously based on an actual area in the UK. But I haven't actually seen that much Atomfall. Like,
nope.
There was like the reveal stuff, and there's been like a little bit of gameplay in some trailers, but like, maybe some more stuff's coming out soon because obviously they had event or something recently. Oh, there was like a 12-minute deep dive trailery thing a couple days ago, and that has some more gameplay in it. But yeah, it looks like there must have been some stuff came out like a couple days ago, probably, which is cool because it's like, it feels like, not that much was actually shown off for it ahead of time. Like, I didn't really, I knew of its existence, kind of, at least the name, but I didn't really know what it was until, like, a month ago, so.
It's a bit under the radar. Yeah, maybe they were too busy finishing off Sniper Elite Resistance in the last few months.
Yeah, maybe.
Which was actually pretty fun when you're playing co-op, but, yeah, wouldn't really play it alone. But, yeah, it's also in Game Pass. So.
Everything.
Subscribe to Game Pass. I think we will be busy playing a lot of games the next few weeks, and we will report back in a month.
Yeah, it's another busy. I think like even April is starting to get busy now. It's like Oh dear. I don't think it's going to get quiet for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be rough fee on the riverside.
Waiting for Switch 2.
Yeah.
I think everyone's waiting for Switch 2. Like, all the PR, like, please, for the love of God, do not release it when we want to release it.
Both Switch 2 and GTA 6. Everyone is going, please, for the love of God, give us release dates.
And the RTX 50 series to come out, actually, properly.
Properly. And then to, like, fix all the issues.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next month.
See you.
See you.